So my heart is beating fast right now. So if I cannot finish the sermon, so since the theme is fixing your eyes on Jesus, please start to do so now. You start fixing your eyes on Jesus. I don't have the sermon about fixing our eyes in Jesus, but I think I could relate it to the sermons that I made in our church. So with the theme fixing our eyes upon Jesus, I'm going to look at to the lens of the life of Jacob. So I want us to all know that we are born in a context, right? Filipino, Americans, we are born in a context. We are born in a certain family. We are born in a certain culture, certain economic system, certain political system, religious belief or church, and different social structures. And these systems somehow shapes us. They shapes us to become the person who we are now. But sometimes, unfortunately, these factors sometimes are for us, but sometimes also they are against us. Sometimes these factors shapes us to become a better person, but sometimes also these factors makes us bad people. I assume that in our world today, there are so many broken people because this system sometimes somehow hurt them or breaks them. Either one or the system or a combination of these different systems could have hurt you. And maybe one of us right now also is a victim or is broken, not only from the outside, but also here on the inside. The challenge that I see, if there are so many broken people, is that we try to cope with those things that has been lost to us or something that hurts us, so we have this coping mechanism. Sometimes our coping mechanism are positive and sometimes also are negative. And sometimes people who are broken, they want to become even. They want to break even with people. Sometimes these broken people sometimes want to retaliate, right? And sometimes these people also want to overpower. So they want to be in charge and they want to be in control. And now these people who are shaped by this culture, who was once a victim, they becomes a participant now in such practices. No, yun nga yung sometimes the saying is, the abuse has become now an abuser. Because there's just so much hurt that is inside. If this is our situation today, then we need help. But where will we get our help if the system around us are failing? If there is no a great example in our system? And so one of the things that I learned in our scripture is the help that comes from above. That is from heaven, from God. That's why one of the things that I realized, we need to be enculturated with the kingdom of God or kingdom values so that we become a new people, new society, and we have a new religious system, political system, economic system. But it all comes not from below, but from above. And so I want to tell you the story of Jacob, because Jacob is a broken person. In our text today, he was already running for his life. He was already asked by his mother to go to his brother Laban because his brother Esau is planning to kill him. Because Jacob stole the birthright, stole the blessing from Esau. That's why now this person, Esau, wants to break even. And he wants to eliminate Jacob. And so he threatened to kill him. That's why we have here in this story Jacob running away for his life. But there is also different systems within Jacob, in his family, that breaks him. And I want to identify first the political system in the family. This family has favoritism. The father, Isaac, his favorite is Esau. And then his mother, Rebecca, his favorite is Jacob. This explains why there is this rivalry within the family. That's why one of the things that I realize is that some of the scholars are telling that when they have to bless when their life is about to end and they want to release blessing, they have to call all the children. But in this situation, Isaac only have in mind Esau because that is his favorite. So he wants only to bless Esau. And when the mother heard the plan, and he is concerned also with his son Jacob, now they devise a plan. And so they want to steal the blessing. And so they deceive Isaac. So now Jacob become a victim. Because it was not really his plan, it was his mother's plan. And unfortunately, because of that rivalry and because of that favoritism, now the family was broken. They lost Jacob on the process because he has to run away for his life. But there is also another system that breaks Jacob, and that is the economic system in the family and even in their culture. This economic system produced brokenness, as I see. Because one of the things that I see in this system is that this is faulty. This is why, according to our lesson, they have this, according to our lesson with Dr. Land in New Testament, we have this culture of limited good. So the idea of the limited good is that we have all enough resources. But if you have more resources, then somebody is lacking resources. So there is now an equal balance of the resources. So one of the things, because of that, that's why I question this idea of birthright. Because from what I know, that if you have the birthright, you have much more resources given to you compared to your other siblings. And so it produced an equal distribution of wealth. Now we have people who have more, and now people who have less. That's why in this situation, it's not just a matter of having resources, but it's about lives. No. And so these people, Jacob saw that it is important, and Rebecca, important that they need to have also the resources. That's why, for me, I have that issue with the birthright and the blessing. And so it creates jealousy and an unhealthy competition. That's why these people on the other side are planning differently to get that blessing. So it creates unhealthy competition. So this is what happened to Jacob and Esau. The system fails to address the equal needs of the other people. So it results to brokenness. The other system that I saw is the social system. And one of the things that we learn also is we have this dyadic personality. So the dyadic personality is like the Filipinos. No, in the we Filipinos, when we buy something in the store, we bring with us our friends or we bring our family. Because if we want to choose a dress, we want to ask their idea. Now, what do you think? Is this good for me or not? And so we cannot decide on our own. We need to refer to our friends. And whatever the majority tells us, that's what we follow. And that is the idea of the dyadic personality. That's why I was wondering, how in the world would a mother name someone Jacob? Because the name Jacob is a deceiver. So that is a question for me. Maybe I have to ask Dr. Mudin, but I have not asked Dr. Mudin as of this time. Because I was wondering, is it normal for a mother to call his son who is just born as a deceiver? Or in Tagalog, it's manluloko. Or is this the description of the writer to describe the character of Jacob? I have no idea with that. Maybe Dr. Mudin could answer. And you ask Dr. Mudin for the right answer. But I was just curious, because it is very unnatural for a person or a mother to name their child a deceiver. And so if I imagine, if you are called a deceiver when you are young, and then you grow up being called like that, no wonder Jacob became a deceiver at the end. He was just inculturated with that idea. And so that is something that I was just wondering. And in the culture of the dyadic personality, no one wants to associate with someone who is a deceiver. No, you don't want to tell your secrets to that person, and later on it will be revealed because the person says, it's okay, you can trust me, but later on he will not. So that is something that I was very curious. Now Jacob, because of that, now Jacob has to run for his life. He became now an outcast because of these different systems. But there is also one system that I was curious, and this is the spiritual system or the spiritual factor, the side. Because we are studying this book of Genesis in our church, and we have already reached this chapter. Because from what I learned, Abraham really wants to make sure that his relationship with God, his knowledge about God will be passed to Isaac. That's why he made sure to his servant, you just look for a wife from my relative, because you don't want to have an intermarriage, because you know what will happen when there is intermarriage like Solomon. No, you have also, you don't just acquire a wife, but you also acquire the different gods of the wife. So Abraham wants to really make sure that Jacob will have the faith. Unfortunately, Isaac was not able to do that. He was not able to pass that faith. And this is where I get it, because when Isaac was running for his life and he was tired already and he had a dream, and God has to introduce himself. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Isaac. Why would God introduce himself? And later on that verse, Jacob also said, if you will fulfill your promise, then you will be my God. That's the first time they have their acquaintance. That's where the first time when you can see that there is this communication between Jacob and God. No? If you will fulfill your promise that you will protect me wherever I go, then you will be my God. So meaning to say, Jacob was not really nurtured by Isaac. He was not oriented about the God that he is serving. And so there is no this acquaintance. So he has this spiritual factor also that makes him broken. But one of the things that I want to tell you about this story is that how God came to rescue. God saw the brokenness. God saw the failures. And God saw the situation of Jacob. And God came to rescue. And that's what I like in this story. Because it was not an intention of Jacob to seek God along the journey. His intention was to go to Laban to find refuge there. But God somehow interceded through dream. And that's where they had this acquaintance. And God introduced himself first that he is the God of Jacob, of Isaac and Abraham. And now God opens a communication between the two of them. Now Jacob has an access with God through that dream. And one of the things that I like is that the scholars are telling that the idea of the angels coming back and forth means to say a continuous communication. As God said, I will never stop until I fulfill my promise. And that's the relationship with God. So to the spiritually deprived person, Jacob, God introduced himself. And God made himself real to Jacob. And not only that, he made a covenant with Jacob. He made a covenant, and that is very interesting for me, because what makes Jacob qualified to become a covenant of the promise, part of the covenant of Abraham? Because I don't see any qualities from Jacob. In our own point of view, in our human point of view, we don't see any qualities. We don't want to raise a leader who is a deceiver, right? Who would want to choose a leader that has so many issues in his life? We want to look for someone who we see is mature. We want to see someone that is really spiritually mature. But Jacob, I don't see any qualities to make him qualified. But still, God came to rescue, and God chose Jacob. Nat said one time that the patriarchs really have so many failures, but God still used them. God still deal with them and continue to work with them. And one of the things that I like is that in the covenant now that he has made with Jacob, there's a difference between the covenant with Abraham and with Jacob, because there's an addition. And the addition there is that, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That is the addition for Jacob, because that is not found in the Abrahamic covenant. Because now, the covenant with Jacob has to deal also with the life and the situation of Jacob. And now, God is addressing that one. I am with you and will keep you. For me, it means protection. That because his life is in danger because of Esau. When he said, I will bring you back to this land, that is an important thing. Because the promise of God is in this land, not on that other side of the world. But somehow, because of the situation, he has to go into that direction. And God knows that it will be challenging. And so he promised that he will bring back to this land because this is the promised land. This is my plan, not that land there. So though the circumstances lead him to wander to different nations, God promised and assured him that he will bring him back to this promised land on the right when the right time comes. And so when you bring back a person back to his promised land, it means to say God also will restore the relationship that was broken with the family, with Esau, and with the parents. I will not leave you until what I have done, what I have promised. This is an assurance for Jacob because the journey will be challenging. It will not that be easy, and it will be challenging. And God made sure that Jacob will be assured by telling him that I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. So my point is that God sees our situation. God sees our situation. He sees the brokenness in us. He sees the brokenness of his people. He sees the brokenness in our economic system, in our political system, in our social system, in our religious system, in our culture. God sees all this brokenness that breaks his people. And God wants to help, and God wants to restore and repair what is broken in us. And so he wants to fix us. He wants to fix the system. And that's what we believe in the Wesleyan. We don't just see salvation just in the person, but in all the systems that is in us that God wants to restore. And so God wants to restore. But you know what? One of the things that I realize is that there are already so many people who have been in this journey. Some already died. I remember Dr. Cracker, do you want to become a community transformational development people where you would change the community or the nation? Are you ready to do that? Because he said, are you ready to lose your life? Because if you're not ready to lose your life, you will not do it. It's very, the journey is difficult. It's not that easy. When you fight a system in slavery, your political system, you fight with these people who are in authority. And that is challenging. That's why I know God has been calling us. The point that we are here, God has been raising up. We'll be facing different challenges, and we will see different problems in our society, and we need to address that. That's why we have the PhD in holistic child, transformational, what are the PhD? Yeah, transformation development, and all these different aspects, because we want to address different aspects in our community, and that will be challenging in real life. That's why we need the help of God. We need the help of God. This journey is not easy. That's why we need the help of God. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus as we continue with our journey. Ask for help. If we are broken, ask God to repair us, to help us, and to restore us. If you see that the challenge is very big, ask for help. Continue to seek help from Jesus. Always seek not from below, but always seek help from above. God bless us all.